studies, and then they have a roadmap, they call it, and it's a devotional, and then you just and send it back to them. And they're looking for mentors, so if you're interested, I have this sheet. It takes about an hour, hour and a half maybe, tops.
If even that.
If even that.
It's easy. I mean, to grade like for actual study is very easy. It's the roadmaps that really...
Yeah, it's... A lot of it's multiple choice, fill in the blanks, and they're answering questions and going over certain studies, and it's pretty neat. I mean, it's
touching.
Yeah, and it's a really good ministry, and the reason why they're in need of more mentors now is because the ministry started paying the postage, whereas before the prisoners were responsible. So now they have a whole lot of people involved, and it's pretty neat though. It's pretty cool. You get to touch people and correct it. And it's not so much you're correcting. If it's wrong, you mark it wrong. But you add suggestions, and you could just put... I just put comments and just a couple things of your insight and where you see they're coming from. And they'll ask questions. But it's pretty self-explanatory. And
it's inspirational, too.
Yeah,
I mean, just them sharing their story and stuff.
And you can look online if you can find their name and see what they're in for. I do it sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wish I hadn't. I mean, the one lady I just looked and I found, and she had, well, what did she do? They arrested her this year in Colorado because her and five other people killed her husband and buried him in the backyard. I mean, that's what people you get. You know.
Foundation.
But, she's looking. I don't think she'll ever get out of jail, but if she knows Jesus before she leaves this earth, amen. Is this on or not? Yep, it is. Okay. I visited Jackson, partook of their second reading of their SOGI, as it's called, and you're going to hear that, and that means sexual orientation and gender identification. And there's four cities in Wyoming that have it as a referendum, which means it's not a law. Sheridan, Gillette, Casper, and there's another one. And what? Laramie has it as an ordinance. Yeah, so it's an actual law in Laramie. And it will be, they have one more reading in Jackson on the 16th. And a reading means they present the ordinance, the proposed ordinance, and people can speak for it or against it. And then the city council votes on it. Well, the first reading was unanimous. This was the second reading. And they're about an hour and a half of... They kept it to 3 or 4 minutes, and everybody pretty much stayed in that time limit. It took about an hour and a half, and you just line up and you speak for it or against it. And there were a lot more people on both sides. Reverend David Bott, the Lutheran minister, who is actually a pretty cool Lutheran minister, so I have to... And, you know, he spoke for it, and then one of the other Lutheran ministers in the town, she spoke for it. So it's... But there, it's really a very emotional issue, and that's what they like to make it. Because and when you appeal to somebody's emotions, it gets to you. And and the thing is, when you read the ordinance, the terms aren't clearly defined. You know what? It's like if you violate somebody's perceived sexual orientation, you're guilty of $750 a day, but they don't say for how long or what the solution is, or if it's, and then they have to investigate you. But how do you know you're offending somebody if they don't even know they're something? So, you know, it's there's a whole lot up in the air, and then you get the whole Captain Phillips things. If I as an employer, and it has to do with employment, basically housing those two are the main ones. But if I don't hire somebody because they have, you know, they've been fired for 10 jobs in the last 10 weeks, and then they say it's because they're a homosexual, then they investigate you, and then you have, you know, the Phillips case all over, where you're perceived guilty until innocent, you lose 40% of your business and finally declare you're okay. And even if you have a business, but they have one more reading, and I guarantee you it'll pass as an ordinance, because the mayor already had his speech prepared beforehand as this was accepted. The good thing to see, there were pastors from Evanston, the Wyoming pastor, Jonathan Lang, he came from Evanston. I came from this corner. The two, the party chairman and somebody else from the Republican Party were directed to read the Republican Party platform at the meeting they had the week before. So they came and read what took place at the convention and what was decided, because one of the ladies who represents, it was a lengthy title, but it had to do, she represented everything that God hates down in Laramie. And she said that they're going to the state and they want to make this a statewide thing as soon as possible. And then you take, the real goal is the LGBT community wants to have incorporated under the 1964 Civil Rights Act under Title VII, that they define the word sex as whatever it is. So they wanted to make it a civil rights violation. And if that happens, then anybody who has any business or anything, it'll be against the law to deny whatever anybody wants from sexual orientation or gender identification. So they can demand you do something, even if against, they could, and I don't know, they say there'll be exclusions for church and the churches. You know, it's religious freedom, the First Amendment, until it infringes upon their rights. You know, they don't care about the religious freedom of religious people. So it's a battle. It's going to be a battle, because most people, I spoke about the love of God in my 3 minutes, and it was really civil on both sides. But the few people that said what you're doing is a sin, whoo, that was a key word that, and then you get people that are for it that are quoting Bible verses, and then I wish I would have went more to the end, because I went towards the beginning, and I would say, you know, if you're going to quote Bible verses, why don't you include all of them? You know, it's picking and choosing, of course, judging verse, and all the typical ones, and if God is love, and I spoke about 1 John 4:8, God is love, and nobody can define that except Him, you know. And then, but it's going to go through, and it'll be there, and the other ones that have it, like Gillette, and Sheridan, and Casper, the ones that have it as a not an ordinance, those are the next ones they're going to take up in this year or next year. It'll be brought up, and they'll want to make them ordinances. So. We think Wyoming, we're the least populated state, you know, the 10th largest least populated. But man, I tell you, you know, all the people over in Jackson are very liberal, and they register under as a Republican, and that's how they run, and then they get in office, and that's what they did in the state the last, 4 years ago? They made a big push for that. And Republican, Democrat, to me, it doesn't matter. This is what matters right here, you know, the Bible. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to wrap up what we've been discussing about repentance, unification, engaging in prayer, because that's kind of what, you know, Washington we went over, and with Call to Fall last week. But it's worth some time and effort that has been put forth in wrapping up our look at this repentance, unification of the church, and how to engage in culture and prayer. And what I found was interesting is when I went over there, I learned a lot just about the process and how the people are involved and what to expect. And it was good. And you know, I want to say it was encouraging to see like all the different denominations involved in it. I mean, there were guys with collars, like half and half. You know, I just say that because it's, you know, there were Lutheran guys there. There were couple Methodist people, there were non-denomination. There's actually a couple Catholic people that spoke against it when, you know, the Pope just came out and said that it was okay. You can identify and do anything you ever want. So it's this mishmash of stuff, but it's good to see this coming together as a church, this unifying as a body. Because, you know, there's a desperate need in the body of believers to get it right, as the opportunity currently exists to correct many wrongs that have been committed by the church and taken away by secular society over the past 50 years. Prayer's been kind of yanked away out of schools. Ten Commandments removed from places. Roe versus Wade implemented in 72 or 3. I forget which one it is, 73. And culture's being... And the culture being determined and set by a world that has no absolutes. I mean, we as a church, the church used to set the rules and the absolutes, you know, because God gives us those things. And now the world is kind of like, we're going to do what we do, and it's devoid of value, and the church has receded and conceded, and it's left us a nation that was founded by forward thinkers. Man, it when you read the things that the founding fathers put together, it's amazing. It's amazing that this thing works. And guys, this constitutional republic that we have, this is like an experiment that's still going on. But we can't yank these things, these bedrock foundations out of it and expect nothing to happen. Because now you see a lot of these results coming to bear fruit. And it's a slippery slope that the left likes to play. And you know, it just seems like it doesn't stop, but it will someday. But we have a say. Irresponsible behavior leads to instability. Well, we were talking in Sunday school. I have this book by Ron Bloomberg, the guy that I met. He was out in Washington, D.C. and adopted. He was supposed to be an aborted, mixed parents, white and black. And he now heads up this ministry called Radiance Alliance. 1940, 4% of kids came out of unwed mothers. 4% in 1940, 73% right now of kids born are to unwed mothers. And he said irresponsible behavior leads to instability in our society, and you can see that. You see it everywhere. It's in all institutions, from fatherless homes and rising birth rates, ever-increasing prison population. I mean, we have the most incarcerated nation out of anybody. And what really is sad is there's little to no emphasis on rehabilitation on the prisoners. The mandate is kind of publicly driven, but there's not really any rehabilitation. And you talk to the guys and you read about different... It's just not. And we 95% of the prisoners get out of jail. A lot of them. So we need to focus on that. But things can change, and God can change it. And He needs a church. He's selected us as the vehicle, but it has to start individually. Repent and go to the entirety of the body of Christians to unite and effectively engage a culture that increasingly hates God and anything Christian. Let's go to 2 Chronicles once and read that again. 2 Chronicles 7:14. A lot of us know it by heart. We're actually getting to that. As you're reading through the Bible the last few days, you're breezing through those beautiful genealogies. 9 chapters in 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is something that verses that we know, but it's one that we often just kind of skip over and we don't pay attention to it. But if my people who are called by my name, my people, my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We said that there's a reason that this is put in this order, because they follow. That's what we talked about last week. Then I will hear from heaven. And this is an answer from prayer in chapter 6 from Solomon. God says, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And that's where we want to go to. And the church in that mindset of Christ can regain a culture adrift. And now is our time. So I'm going to just quickly hit the high points of the repentance, unite, engage in prayer, and then we can eat some food. Doesn't that sound like a good plan? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you just for setting our eyes on who you are. And Lord, that we never forget that we've been given the victory, that it is ours in you. But Lord, to do your will is to live this life you've given us. So give us the strength, the courage, and the insight to do that, and to do it effectively, and do it for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The playwright Eugene O'Neill, not that I read any of his stuff, but I just happened to come across some people that were listening to stuff, they were quoting him. And he said, obsessed by a fairy tale, we spend our life searching for a magic door and a lost kingdom of peace. I thought that interesting. Obsessed by a fairy tale, we spend our life searching for a magic door and a lost kingdom of peace. And I thought that pertinent for today, because has anyone ever heard of the Peter Pan syndrome that's going on today, where kids won't leave their parents' home, they just want to be kids forever? Like, in, was it New York where the parents had to sue to get their 31-year-old kid out of their basement? And he's like, I've been trying to do it, I just can't. Well, here's the door and there you go, you know. It's not that hard. But it's a syndrome that's going on with a lot of kids these days that don't want to grow up. They just want to live with their parents and not get a job and kind of check out. But that's what people like to do. And I'd like to add that the world's very good at creating these magic doors, although they don't and will not produce a kingdom of peace, but they insist they must and exist. You have to believe it, and that's what we see today with these ordinances coming out, that it's not only bad that this will pass, but they say this is the law and you have to believe it. See, the LGBT community and a lot of these things that are coming about aren't satisfied with these things passing. They want Christians to agree with them. That's what they want. And like one of the guys that stood up there and said, no matter what you pass, this is what I live by, not what you tell me I have to do. And that's what we have to do. So that's these, and when we do our best, and when they do their best, they receive everything they thought they needed, but nothing in the end they want. Because the reasoning, once it comes full circle, they get everything they never wanted, because it doesn't make any sense to them. Because they ask for two rights, and two rights don't make a wrong. There's only one truth. I found it funny that one of the council members said, there's 330 million people in the United States and we all have different opinions. And I'm like, yeah, but there's only one fact. You know, it's great that we have all different, because he said we all have to find some way to just get along, which is a great thing. But there's only one fact. Fact is, we'll never all get along because we're all so different, but it doesn't mean that we can't coexist with each other. You know, you see the coexist bumper stickers. I just wonder what that means, you know. Usually they have the little Darwin thing next to it, so you know exactly what they mean. So it's, but you know, repentance, when we start with repentance and you go to unification and engaging and you wrap it up in the precise order and precision of the answered prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's exactly what's needed today. God's given us the solution to the church racked with confusion and fear. And the society is searching for answers. Guys, people are looking for answers. And God gives it to them. And why? To protect faith, family, and freedom. You know, our houses, so many of our houses and things were damaged during this storm. And why is that important to us? Because that's where our faith, family, and it gives us freedom to have those things. There's nothing wrong with having things. But man, when you have God involved and you put all this together, it's like an attack to us, that it's personal, and it should be. It should be. You know, at men's prayer breakfast yesterday, Dave Holland, you know, he said, you know, is there any, if we go through prayer requests, and I'm like, yeah, just pray, because it seems like the more we do with the things we get involved with, the culture and as a church, it's like the more we get attacked for it, you know, and it's just like, okay, you're pelting our houses with hailstones and what's next, you know. It's only going to get better, so we say. But, you know, it will get better. And just like Parker breaking out his Bible in the midst of chaos, the God of truth stands by himself, you know, out of all the rubble. I came across Isaiah 21:8. That's on your bulletin. If you can read it, it didn't come out really great. He says, he calls out like a lion, my Lord, I stand on the watchtower all day long. I stay at my post all night. It's like we say, Lord, no matter what happens, I'll stand on my watchtower. I'll do what you want all day and all night, just like a lion. Just like a lion. And you might say, well, Pastor Dave, this seems like a lot of overkill that we're just talking about this one more week, but it's not. When you look at what has taken place, what has been given away, the lack of depth, obedience, and illiteracy in the church, and the damage done to God, to this godly nation, now is our time. A lot of our issues in the church is we don't know the God we serve, so we're afraid to do anything for Him because we don't know if we're for Him or against Him. We just don't know Him. And once you get to know the God you serve, man, it's like, you know, those who have been married, are married, the more you live with your spouse, even if it's 20 years, you still learn stuff. You still learn stuff. And that's like with God. You still, you know, I learned a new word in the Bible today, dandle. It's bounce somebody on your knee like a loving mother. I told Joyce, I said, it's amazing how close it is to dangle. It's on God's unconditional love. You know, you're bouncing your kid on your knee one next second, you want to dangle them over the cliff. You know, I always say, you know, kids, we love you, but right now we just don't like you a whole lot. You know, it's that unconditional love. And that's what God has for us. One of God's great don'ts, I came across this in a devotional this week. It's Psalm 37:8. And it's do not fret, it only causes harm. And fretting means to get ourselves out of joint mentally or spiritually. That's what fretting is. And you say, well, can I worry about my car, my house, the glass? Yeah, but God says there's a difference between concern and worry. You know, we have to be concerned about things, but don't worry yourself. And it's easy to do, believe me. It is so easy for all of us to do. Like Joyce and Terry, you know, coming back. It could have been so focused on getting back to the adjuster, they would have never saw Pansy, you know? Never saw her. She could have laid there till she died. You don't know. You don't know. And those things are kind of like, God just kind of checks us and wakes us up. He's like, in the midst of these things, I got you. You know, just breaking out His word, just, you know, having Pansy, just, you know, having Tressa's parents just come at that time. It was just so good to just kind of step back and say, oh, it's summer, let's go do some stuff. You know, let's go drive around in the van in the cut across, which I didn't find right away. So we drove like 40 some minutes in the back woods in the van. I know we weren't lost completely because we're headed in the right direction.
Temporary delay.
I like that. I knew we were going in the right direction, and I'm like, well, I'm like 99% sure, and then I'm like, nah, I'm like 30% sure, but we're going in the right direction. I don't know if anybody else is as concerned as now. Nah. We were having a good time. It was like, it's just beautiful, and we weren't in any hurry. It's just these things that we need to do, and just fretting, it's resting in the Lord is not... resting in the Lord is not dependent on your external circumstances at all, but on your relationship with God. That's what we have to remember. Worrying always results in sin. It'll get you there. Fretting rises from our determination to have our own way. Think of that. And our fretting and worrying is caused by planning without God. So we need to start to reverse the trend by repenting. The first words Jesus ever said, Mark 1:15, repent and believe in the gospel. Think of that. Repent, turn away, and believe. Believe, put your hope in the gospel. In the gospel. That definition of repentance is a change of mind, as it appears in one who repents of a purpose. I'm reading from the Greek definition. He has formed or of something he has done, especially the change of mind of those who have begun to abhor or despise their errors and misdeeds, and that determined to enter upon a better course of life, so that it embraces both a recognition of sin and sorrow for it, and hearty amendment and tokens and effects which are good deeds. And it turns into a changing of heart, because it can't just be a changing of mind. Because there's 18 inches, kind of like that, between the brain and the heart. and it has to go there. My pastor always said it goes from the head to the heart to the hands. That's how God works. You know, he changes the mind, gets to the heart, and then you just serve him. It goes to the hands. And it's the only thing that produces the ability to replace that sin in our lives. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a verse that, if you've done any kind of Bible memory, it's one of the first ones that I learned. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's kind of a good verse for witnessing and just to keep in your mind. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Guys, we're not, as a Christians, we're not refurbished, retooled, remade. We are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. Not a few things, not one thing. All things have become new. We're new creations. And that is such a blessing and a promise. As I was reading through the our reading, I got to end of 2 Kings, and King Josiah, one of the best kings. I just thought it interesting that it said that as he cleaned out the temple, he started to see the things that he needed to see. And what did he eventually find? He found the book of the law buried in the temple under garbage. But it's those things cleaning up in our own lives. You start getting rid of those things that don't belong to God. You know, like we help Rusty and Amanda clean up, and a lot of people they're cleaning up. We got rid of a lot of things that they didn't need to help see what they really did need. You know, and with Joyce and Terry, you know, they get rid of things that they didn't need to see the real need. And as Christians, as we're cleaning things out, I get guys in jail all the time. One guy's like, how do I do the will of God? I want to do the will of God, as he uses the Lord's name in vain about every 10th word. I said, that's a good start right there. And when I met with him the last time, he's recognizing that now. He'll say it and he'll be, ugh. He'll just do that. I'm like, see, you're getting rid of those things that you know aren't good, so you'll eventually be able to see who God is. And in that, recognize his will in your life. So Christians are brand new people. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and we're not the same anymore. And it starts to show on the outside. Over in Colossians 2:6, if you're in your Bible, turn over to Colossians 2:6, 7. I like these verses. Paul says in Colossians 2:6, 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And that walking means to leave, or to live, go, and be occupied with. Be occupied with him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It means focused and founded and carried out as spoils. That's what it means. It means to carry out. You're so built up in him and walking with him that you're carrying things out as spoils of victory and war. That's that whole thing. You're so rooted, built up in him, living and active, that you're going, and as you go in your victories, you're just scooping stuff up like a warrior. You're just like, another battle. We won that one. I got, what did I get out of that? Helmet, shield, something, you know. And you're just throwing it in your treasure chest. That's what Paul is saying that we need to do as Christians. And we have those things. We have those things as Christians. And the problem is that when we don't live like Christ as Christians, it starts to cloud our beliefs in the object of that. And our relationship with God becomes something a man and nothing a God. And as a church, we need to repent now and not later. That's why a lot of these things that are taking place now are becoming so visible, because the church is finally starting to stand up. Whereas years ago, who was I talking to? I don't know if it was when I was down at the Wyoming pastors or somebody that was involved in that. It was Jonathan Lang from Evanston. He said that he formed the Wyoming Pastors Network, and they started to go to Cheyenne and let them know what the church stood for. And the people in Cheyenne and the state were happy, because they said, we didn't think there were any even Christians in the state. All that used to show up was this crazy witch doctor lady that We didn't know what to do with her. And that was the representative for this, for religion in the state. But he said that last time they had something down there, I think it was a year ago, or so they had 100, they had to move it. It was overflow. There were two rooms. There are 150 some people. And now that's what's happening. So now you have that, there's a real battle that's going to take place. But it's good to see it. And we know who wins in the end, but we have to stand up and fight for what we believe. It says, there's no duty which is either more obvious in itself or more frequently asserted in the Word of God than that of repentance. And without it, there's no significant noticeable change in a person before Christ and when we sin in Christ. You say, well, I'm a sinner when I'm a Christian? Yeah, but we're not a slave to that lifestyle. We are forgiven through Him. That's why we should ask for His forgiveness every day. Charles Swindoll said in his book, I Surrender, that the church's integrity problem is in the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract sin. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. He goes on to say, it is revival without reformation, without repentance. And that's what you see a lot today. Megan came up to Tressa the other day and said there was a girl on
Musical.ly,
some social media outlet that was saying that she's a Christian, but she's a lesbian, a 12-year-old girl. And she asked her if that was possible. And, you know, it's not. It's not, because we know from 1 Corinthians 6:10, Paul says if you continue in these, and he names off a whole bunch of things, you have no part of the kingdom of heaven. If you continue in them, you can be coming out of them and forgiven of them, but you can't continue in that lifestyle. That just doesn't wash. You can't be a declared sinner and declare salvation. It doesn't. But I tell you, it's like being a Bronco fan and wearing a Raiders jersey. That's like being a Packer fan and wearing a Bears jersey. Laramie's like, no. It just doesn't happen. It's inconceivable. It's not possible. It just doesn't work. That's why people make bets when their team plays. If you lose, you have to wear my team's jersey. No bigger insult. You know, it's a horrible thing. But, you know, you can't declare Christianity and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and publicly declare a sin, much less live privately with one. So this is where this, and the next thing we talked about, repentance is unity. The church, the called out ones, need to come together. And the importance of this is that as we come together, we give glory to God and we grow His kingdom in this world. It doesn't mean that we're accepting doctrine from other churches. Our basis is Jesus Christ died, buried, and He rose again. And from there, we're going to come together in that and we're going to start gaining strength. The cultural impact team, why do we do that? Inform, ignite, and impact the world with the Christian worldview. You know, that's what we do. And it's really cool because I was hoping that Jonathan Lang from Wyoming Pastors would be there. That was one of the main reasons I went over to Jackson, because he's been a hard guy to get a hold of, and I wanted him to see that I'm serious to try to get a hold of him and that we're trying to unite as churches around the state and not supersede what he's got going in Evanston and up through Casper and all that. And he saw that. He's like, wow, you're here from Crook County? And I said, yeah, I represent the churches and the body of Christ over in Crook County. And they said, and sorry that nobody else could come, but, you know, I'm a pastor and I can take off when I want. No, that's what I said. It's a long drive over there and back in one day. Yeah. Beautiful, though. Beautiful. Most of it. I don't know, when you're driving 480 miles in one day and back the next. I did, though. It was beautiful. I've never seen the Teton, so it was pretty cool. Yeah. And Jackson is a beautiful city, minus the 10,000 tourists that are all trying to park and walk around in the same area as you drive through town. But it's this coming together that hasn't been done in such a long time. And the church goes into the world, not vice versa, and we have to engage it and not be contaminated by it. And like the big thing is, this isn't political issues we're talking about, they're spiritual. And we need to do these things while it is day, John 9:3. We've been given an opportunity as a country, I believe this one last time, maybe another time. And I think we have a long time. Because I think there's going to be a long time. I mean, as the nation goes, to get this right. You know, if Trump's your man or not, he's the man in charge. And Pence will probably be next. I don't see them losing, but I didn't see Trump ever being president, so I don't think anybody ever saw that. But he's our guy, and he's a godly man. He's done more things pro-life and pro-Christian than anybody's ever done in a long time. And Pence is going to do more than he's done. I mean, Pence is, he's a powerful guy. He's a powerful Christian. You know, and these guys, God is on their side. God is on their side. So we have time right now. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. I love what Henry Blackaby said. Do you not already hear the warnings of God? Do you not see the enemy is coming in like a flood? And God is trying to raise up a standard against it. And you and I are the standard. We are the standard. We set the course, not vice versa. And we're not going to be able to repel, encourage, and stand against something individually. We have to do it together, and it includes all Christians. And God desperately wants a reconnection of the soul, the person he has created. One other thing I brought up when I had my little 3 minutes or 4 minutes is that we're all created. Every person is created in the image of God. And keep this in mind when you're engaging anybody in any topic. And for that reason, we have to respect that person for that. That God created them in his image. And I told the people that. I said, before you hate me because I disagree with you, just remember, we're all created in God's image. And I said, I respect everybody for that. But that doesn't mean that I have to agree with everybody and I hate them because they don't agree with me. But we owe that as Christians and everybody to each other. And if the whole world would keep that in mind, it'd be a whole lot better place. You know, treat each other nicely. You know, and so many people don't do that. John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. I love that at the Oshodo Church, where I'd never been there. We walked out. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Oshodo, I just guess, is just a bunch of ranches.
There was a post
office. Oh, was there?
Yeah, I guess. Another half mile to the west.
Oh, okay. It's a nice church. And as you walk out, it says, you're now... Yeah. What's that? Okay. But they have a post office, which is a pretty big thing. Not on. All right. What was the zip code? 82? Okay. Just thought you would know.
Now it's
21. Oh. But as you walk out of the church, it says you are now entering the mission field. I'd like to get that at our church because we've said that a long time. That was the key word that got me here that you put in your email. Because I always said that you know, people say, well, I need to go out on the mission field in some country. And I say, well, the United States is the biggest mission field you ever want to go to. It's this thing we have to keep in mind that we are on a mission field. We're on a mission. And it's one. And what's at stake? One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And it's just not the United States. It's our God, and it's a worldview. This is a worldview that affects everybody. Nehemiah 3:17, I'll read it for you. Next was a group of Levites working under the supervision of Rehum. Then came Hashabiah, the mayor of half of Kalea district, who supervised the building of the wall in his own district. But keep in mind, it was individual responsibility for the entire wall. Together, their own areas, same city, same wall, protecting the core of the people. And what we're protecting, I love when we're singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the truth will carry on. You know, the truth. And truth will stand and lies cannot. Truth will stand and lies can't. Lies eventually will fall. We know that because we give them, and as teenagers tell them to us, eventually they just fall down upon themselves. That's my, yes. I'm past the waterboarding of a teenager to get the truth. I just wait for guilt to wear him down and heavy prayer on that. And it works. And it works because lies cannot stand. So engage, really quick, we're going to do engaging. When you engage somebody, when you want to talk about Christ, see the person first. Sin is always realized and known by both people. If there's sin in someone's life and they're like, well, they might know, it's realized, if not known. But it's not fully recognized outside the knowledge of God. Here's that knowledge of God thing again. If we don't know our God completely, we can't convey that truth to other people and that love of Him. And a lot of people, and I find this is helpful for me, when you're talking to an unbeliever, guys, they don't know what we know. They don't have the Holy Spirit, the discernment, the truth. All they know is life apart from Christ. And I was there for a long time. And when you're on the other side, life seems good, happy. But happy is temporary. Happy is temporary. Colossians 3:14, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. You may be seeking the best for others, but they might not perceive it as such. Instead of immediately pointing out a problem, talk about the solution and the problem. Knowledge and faith plus your testimony is very powerful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, only by living completely in this world can one learn to have faith. And after this storm, talk about weathering storm, some worse than other people. I mean, roofs lifted off, siding missing, windows gone, buildings gone. Only as we live in this world do we learn to have faith. I mean, will our faith be stronger after something like this? Should be. Should be. You live through it. Do you want to live through it? No. You don't. You don't want to live through it. I mean, I'm sure Anne Marie doesn't like her greenhouse to be shredded into pieces. And then to have to clean it up on top of that. I mean, that's the thing. To live through it, you learn. You put the knowledge of God together with your faith, and it just grows into a powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. And it's by engaging in the world, and you can do that. Our testimony is only effective when processed through repentance, unity, and engagement. Because there you encounter people with the will of God as a new creation, backing with other people in confidence in what you believe. You can stand. You can use that testimony. Just a powerful thing what Amanda shared with Parker and that. I mean, that builds up the whole body. It gives me God bumps again right now. It builds up the whole body of Christ. And you can share that in the midst of all this. This is what my son, this is what this kid did. This is what somebody did in our church. You know, and it energizes people. And you share that with an unbeliever and they're like, well, why? Because we know God is in charge. We know who to go to with a problem. And it reveals there are no fairy tales and trap doors like Eugene O'Neill brought up. There are none. You know, trap doors are trap doors. That's the way I look at them. They're called that for a reason. False doors are false doors. You know, like the Winchester Mansion. Lady built her house for 32 years, 24 hours around the clock. Stairways and stairwells and everything that go nowhere. Still there, it's in California. Because a spirit told her to do that, you know. The heir of the Winchester Mansion. Interesting story. The movie, not so much. The story, just read it on Wikipedia or something like that. It's on the internet, so it has to be true. It is true. Second Chronicles, quickly on prayer, we went over it. When we do the things in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it protects and empowers of us, and it gives us that right perspective. It puts all things into context. When you look at that prayer, it came out of chapter 6, Solomon kneeling down, raising his hand. A king never did that. And then God answers his prayer of those four requirements. He hears, forgives their sin, and heals their land. But we have to do those other things. Humble. We have to be humble. Turn from our sins. Seek His face and ask for forgiveness. We have to do those things. We have to do them. And there's a progression, and it unlocks and builds a solid foundation, not only which we can stand, but gain strength and operate from. I found an interesting quote by Philip Brooks. It was in a prayer calendar thing that I have. I showed it to Tressa. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives." I don't know, sometimes I pray for an easier day. Yeah. It says, pray to be stronger people or stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. And you're like, yeah, that's a great prayer. Till it's answered. Till it's answered. Some days you're just like, Lord, I just want to stay in bed and do nothing. And then you get sick. So you have to ask, watch how you pray. No, it's God's not ever out to get us. Just wrapping this up. We have to, you know, He has this progression, this things that He gives us to do. And we get to do. And we get to do. But it starts with repentance. Eugene O'Neill said, man is born broken. He lives by mending. We're born broken, we live by mending. And he says, the grace of God is the glue. The grace of God is the glue. We live by mending. Aren't we fixers, guys, especially? Man, oh man, oh man, if we can't do it, it's like, and we so want to do it on our, by ourselves, you know? And a lot of times you just can't. You just can't. You know, there's things I can't do anymore that I used to like to do. Roof? Never, no. I can't do it. And I pick up stuff now, my shoulders kill me the next day, you know? Spiritually, as you get stronger, it seems like there's more you can do. And God says, I'll give you more things to do. But don't do it by yourself. I am the glue. Unification. With God and others. With God, teach me your way. Psalm 86:11. O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite or command my heart to fear your name. Unite or command my heart to fear your name. And then Psalm 133:1 with others. Have good, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. And then engagement. Acts 24:16. I was just reading this the other day and I thought this with Paul, how he engaged. I've been looking for ways in the Bible how people engaged other people. And Paul, he said in 24:16 Acts, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. And I thought, well, that's cool. And then I'm like, well, that word conscience, what exactly does that word mean? He says he strives to have one. And we all kind of know what it is, but the Greek, it's synodesis. And it's very interesting. Literally, it means joint knowledge. A conscience is joint knowledge. And it's the soul as distinguishing the soul between what is morally good and bad, prompting to do the former and shun the latter, commending the one and condemning the other. So you have this joint knowledge of what's good and bad. And what happened in the Garden of Eden? You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. And the thing is with people, as born sinners now, we have that knowledge of good and evil. And we know what is good and we can never fully resist the evil. It's always good. It's just there. But we have a conscience. You know, Jiminy Cricket. He's my favorite Disney character. I have a couple things of him. Right, Tressa? Just verifying that so it makes it more powerful. But, it's literally this joint knowledge. And that's what this prayer and this idea, these things we need to do. Guys, we have the knowledge as Christians of what's good and evil. And we know it because we have God in our lives. The world likes to combine this and have just this unification of a conscience. And it's impossible. And what really gets them is that deep down their conscience doesn't allow that. And the soul that God gave them separated will not allow it either. And that's what they fight. So they're always looking for the truth. Even in the things that they're partaking in now, they think that's it. And the thing is, they're going to realize that that's not. That's why you see all these morphing of different things these days. Because people, they get such a wrong idea about God. And sometimes the church is good at giving them the wrong idea, that we have to get better at the right idea and loving them into the kingdom, because, you know, nobody's ever been beaten into the kingdom of God. Nobody. So just keep those things in mind as you pray through the week. Keep Jackson in prayer and just our nation in prayer and just this body in prayer, because we need it. We need it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everything you do, just how you came into this world, preaching repentance in you, in the gospel. And Lord, you just desire this unification of the body of believers, and that you give us the model how to engage. And Lord, the answered prayer that you gave way back in the Old Testament to Solomon about the proper way to repent and come back to you, and how you will hear and heal. So Lord, we just ask that you give us guidance through your Holy Spirit and the power to do those things. I just pray as we sort through insurance claims and junkyards looking for parts and picking up the pieces literally, that you continue just to keep our eyes fixed on you. Let us take that time just to praise you. And Lord, if it's time we need just to give it all to you, let us do that also, Lord. But let us never forget who you are and what you can do. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up.